Columbia Forest Vista Hills, according to Trail Forks.
That's what it was called?
I think it's Columbia Forest, and I think the hilly area is Vista Hills.
I always get so confused by the names. Why does it have two names? Is it actually two different places?
I think the non-forested part and the forested part is Vista Hills. And I think Columbia Forest is the actual forest part.
That's not confusing at all.
Okay. It's quite hilly around there, even though it is in the middle of a housing estate.
Right.
So what did you think of the place before we get into the how you get there?
Oh, whoa. Right into it, eh?
A little bit.
I had a great time. I thought it was a bit of a different ride in that the trails were quite wide. But my favorite part about this place was the downhills. They were some of the most fun downhills in a while for me, with just so many of them.
And not crazy uphill to get to the top to ride down either.
No, it didn't seem... I mean, it definitely felt like we were up and down some elevation, but nothing was brutal, up or down. Just quite jolly good fun.
Yeah, there's a big chunk of green trails that enables you to get to the blue trails and the black trails. But I think if you start from the car park... And I can't remember the name of the road, but it's on...
Was it Sundew Drive?
Yeah. So there's two car parks on there. If you look at Trail Forks, you'll see that there's two car parks. It doesn't matter which one, but the one further up on the right is the one to go to. And you ride up, not down, so up away from the little pond. And there'll be a little trail into the right, and it's called Donkey's Tail.
That's a good name.
It is. And if you get on that and turn left, that'll get you to some decent trails.
We didn't see a donkey's tail, but we did see a deer's tail wagging around.
We had a good view of the deer, actually.
Yeah, not once, but twice. Do you think it was the same one?
Yeah, I believe it was. I think it's springtime, and I think last year's, maybe the males are on the loose, looking for the ladies, perhaps.
The ladies of the night?
Or the day. Or he was just eating snacks, wasn't he?
Yep.
Quite happily just sat or stood eating snacks. So we're on a bit of a road trip today. We're still in the car, just as a side note. A bit different. We've been recording them at home, but just the way it unraveled this week. The one thing I would say is that if you go on left on Donkey's Tail and you go up kind of as far as you can go, there is a blue trail which is called Root Ripper. You want to go from the top of the forest. No, you want to go from... Sorry. You want to go from the part that starts in the forest and then head to the top of the forest. So you want to go south to north, not north to south, because we did it backwards and it was pretty unpleasant, to be honest. There was a lot of route sections where you really needed to carry some speed and we couldn't get any speed to carry, so yeah, just as a side note, I would say. So did you have anything else to add on the trails? It was fairly easy greens, but a good dose of them, interesting enough. Lots of blues that were quite interesting. You like the downhills. The blacks were fairly technical, and then we did see a jump line, which we didn't necessarily ride, right?
No, and it was pretty intense, too. Like, there was a significant number of gap jumps, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
And even a cool, old, fairly rickety-looking, wooden drop.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not nothing.
I thought you were going to say an old rickety car, because there was one of those as well.
No, there was a cool old car in there.
But it didn't even have an engine, so that ain't... That's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Nope, there was some good jumps. Did feel the mosquitoes had woken up, though.
Holy smokes, did they ever. Although, for the majority of the ride, they were all right. The only time I really got nailed was my chain came off down low in a bit of a swampier zone, and oh my goodness, I got bit like 10 times in 10 seconds.
Yeah, they were definitely on it. It's that noise in your ear, you know. And
no,
then when
but
it stops, you know it's biting you.
Higher up, they were next to none. So I would say just depended on if we were high or low.
Yeah, that's true.
But... yeah, I thought this place was quite gorgeous. We were fortunate to ride it on a weekday midday, as opposed to a weekend. So I do wonder if it does get a bit busier, but it was so nice and peaceful while we were there. Just a few walkers and a few kids on bikes.
Yeah, no litter, so that leads you to believe that it's probably pretty well looked after.
Well, it was well maintained. Didn't we pass the lawnmower man who
did.
Was so kind to stop and move out of the way for us?
Yeah, we did. So no litter. All the walkers we met were very friendly. It is rideable to Hydrocut, so if you're one of the people that goes to Hydrocut and it's closed, or you're doing a couple of days, you could easily just tag this on, I would say. Yeah, I was impressed. What about the edible side?
Well, I was less than impressed on the edible side, I will say. But trying to think, we were smelling some good smells, weren't we? Is it maybe just still the phlox that's out in full force?
Yeah, I think so.
But lots and lots and lots of raspberry bushes from what I can tell. So on the mushroom front, we did find some blackfoot polypores, which I will talk about a little bit. Unfortunately, they are not edible. They are too tough. But I'll share a little bit about them, because I'm sure you will encounter them on your travels if you are a mushroom hunter like us. So they are a shelf fungi, and they like to grow on hardwood logs or stumps, or even sticks, actually, you could find them on. They usually are scattered or solitary saprobic mushrooms who feed on dead wood, though sometimes they will attack living trees and feed parasitically. They have medium to large size caps, I'd say. Or you know what? I'll even say small, medium, or large sized caps. 2 to 10 centimeters, possibly smaller or bigger. And they come in a variety of colors, but all pretty, I don't want to say blah, monotone, is that a better?
Mute.
Mute, that's a good word. So like brownish, blackish, yellowish, grayish, reddish, and the stem has a blackish base, hence probably the name, Blackfoot Polypore. If you are going to take a spore print of one of these, you should come up with a white spore print. And you will find them from late spring into the autumn. So, hence why I said you will probably come across these if you are hunting mushrooms.
You can't do anything with them, like some things you can paint on or make into shells or like, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes some of the mushrooms that you can't necessarily eat go into tea or, you know, some kind of powder or anything. But
well, I'm sure that there's some creative or productive use for these, because isn't there for everything, really?
Yeah, but I mean, like the fire starter mushroom, and
that's what I'm getting at. But I am not aware of what its practical use may or may not be. All that I really know for truth is that they're not edible.
And what else did you find on your travels from a foraging point of view?
Well, this one might not sound very exciting to everyone, but I did think I would share a little bit of information about it, as we did collect some that day, and it's out and about, and it's quite plentiful. So I'm talking about red and white clovers, and, you know, I think that they're underrated and underappreciated. They are not only just good for the bees. So they are a herbaceous perennial plant, and they are a member of the pea or legume family. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. All parts are edible, both raw or cooked, which I always love, and you can find them mid-spring all the way through summer and even into the fall, which is also excellent. They are kind of everywhere. So the clovers that we collected had either white flowers or red flowers. Clovers have 3 elliptical shaped leaflets, and sometimes they even have white patterning on them.
So, I was going to say, I guess they're a good one for new people not used to foraging, or people that want to get their kids into foraging, because you can't really make a mistake with a clover once you know what a clover looks like.
Yeah, great beginner foraging.
And sometimes in people's gardens, and I guess on verges. I guess if you're going to go, don't go and pick them on the golf course, because they've probably been poisoned with some kind of nasty fertilizer or something. But your lawn's probably okay, as long as you don't use anything terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. A great one for kids. You're absolutely right. So they also, I was reading about some interesting medicinal purposes. So there's many, but one thing that I was reading into was that clovers are helpful at cleaning up pretty much all waterways in the body, as well as improving the condition of our blood.
Right.
And I had another interesting fun fact that I read about that I thought I would add in, and that is that they have been investigated as a potential replacement for eggs, particularly in mayonnaise, where they act as an emulsifier to prevent oil and water from separating.
What?
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Clover mayonnaise.
Good not old just clover.
Not just clover honey anymore, guys. So, yeah, I will echo what Jamie said about it being a great beginner. It's just a great item to forage, period. It's everywhere. So, you know, look around, and you might even spot a rarity. The lucky 4-leaf clover. It could happen.
It could. So just kind of to finish up from me, the thing about this place is that it's close to Waterloo and Kitchener. As I said, it's pretty close to Hydrocut. But if you're a solo rider or a beginner, and some of the places feel a bit remote or a bit wild or a bit tough, I do mean that, you know, in the nicest way possible. Like, even some of the places in the Niagara area or Arkell, or, you know, you're fairly close to houses and people are there, but you're not, it is a bit remote. This place is actually surrounded by a housing estate almost on every side, and it doesn't feel like it. It feels nice when you're in there, but yeah, if you're a bit nervous or not sure of yourself, it's probably a good place to go, I think, as a beginner, as a good starter place. And the greens are interesting, and you can gradually build up as you go.
That is actually a great point that you make. If you were, say, a little bit nervous or hesitant on the navigating or the being too far back in the woods on your own, this is a great place to test that out, because you're surrounded and not too far from civilization.
Yeah.
And I must say, I quite enjoyed looking at some of the backyards. That was it, the Green Trail?
Yeah.
Where the grass mound was butted onto. There was some really beautiful backyard gardens, both small spaces and large spaces. And I mean, right now I'm pretty into our backyard garden, so the timing for me is a little bit on point. But it was just quite pleasant.
Yeah, it was a good trip out.
Lots to look at. I mean, always, but
yeah. So, just one thing left to say.
Get lost.